Adam Oates joins us, as he always does every Tuesday. Oatsy, how you doing, my man?
I'm good. Yourself?
I am excellent. Excellent. I want to discuss a few things. Darnell Nurse, we had him on, and I know you worked with him this summer, and you guys changed some things in the summer. And then when he came to camp, he altered his flex a little bit again, just because it felt like, Jim Johnson, they felt like maybe they were mishandling the puck. Like, how much of a difference is flex, and is it something that most of us really don't understand how to use properly?
I would say that most of us, including a lot of the NHLers, don't understand how to use the flex correctly. You know, some of these tools are really, there's a lot of engineering and design goes into these, and a lot of the players probably haven't experimented enough with the flexes. And, you know, example with Darnell is, you know, we change his curve and lie a lot. So when you make changes, he's going to be, you know, feeling the puck a little differently, how you catch it, all the things we've talked about in all the shows. So his flex is another thing that has to be altered as well, right? And it's funny because, like, shots are important, but in the big scheme of things, it's at least the most important thing. It's the feel of the puck. But you know what? It's expensive to change these things. And it's also, you know, for an NHL player, like, they have a mold. So when they want to try something new, it takes 2-3 weeks to get a new stick to try it. So, you know, it's very hard for these guys to make changes. And, you know, that's why it's a real science.
Now, interesting, and generalization is always tough when it comes to sticks, but do you find most defensemen will have a higher flex, stiffer than you will have amongst forwards? Is that how it's going right now?
Yeah, but, you know, also most of those guys grew up with more of a heel curve. So the flex goes with that, and they shoot it hard. So while I agree, it's one of those things where you still want to experiment because, you know, you want to shoot the puck hard, but it's more accuracy and all the other things you have to do with that stick that matter, right? So it's like I know our ego, we all want to pound the puck, but there are other things that are important in our game.
Well, and it is funny because you mentioned how shooting the puck. So how do you find that balance? If you were going to give tips for people, you know, you come up and maybe you're in, I don't care, peewee or bantam or midget or whatever level it is, that, yeah, okay, you know what, they kind of have a harder shot. Should it mostly be about handling the puck first? And then if you become a Shea Weber type later on in your career, well then, you know, a guy who's got a cannon, you could adapt then?
Yes, I would go in that direction. For sure. You need to control the puck first. And anything you use, you're going to be able to hit. And as you get bigger and stronger, yeah, you'll be tweaking the flexes a little bit. But I wouldn't worry about it until then.
Now, why have we seen such a change in the last few years in flex, Adam? Because it seems a lot more guys are going to more whippy sticks where, the 5-6 years ago, everybody was into the stiff shaft.
Well, because I think the stick companies are getting, you know, they're improving too, right? They're getting more knowledge. They're more scientific. And I think they're providing more knowledge to the players as well. And, I think we go in these kind of like different directions all the time.
Adam Oates joins us. Adam, the Washington Capitals come to town, and they have had basically the same power play formation for a long time. For them, it's off to a slow start, and it's really because for two games they went 0-8, and now they're 2 for their last 8, which is 25%, so they're starting to trend back to where they are. If you're a penalty kill, how do you approach Washington's power play?
Well, first things is when they're on, good luck. you know what? They have all... and they run on autopilot, so I haven't seen why they're not scoring. Obviously, there's some mistakes somewhere in their reads. But, the first things first for a PK is try and win the draw, which the Oilers have good face-off guys, so win that draw and get it down. You know, that the entry is the hardest thing out of the power play, so, you know, you want to try and deny the entry, deny control off the entry, because if nothing else, you tire them out a little bit. So winning the draw really helps in that case. When you have a chance to clear the puck, you got to clear it. You can't give them second and third chances. And you know what? When there's an opportunity to pressure, you want to try and pressure correctly without getting exposed. Otherwise, you know, they still got to make their plays and they got to beat the goalie. And, you know, sometimes the goalie's a cure-all, right?
Oh, well, yeah. I think in every good penalty kill, a lot of it falls to your goaltender because the other team does have advantage. You can create two-on-one someplace on the ice because it's five against four. So ultimately, most penalty kills when they're going is they're having a good goalie on their penalty kill.
Yeah, that helps. And if you're a good penalty-killing team, you'll know where that two-on-one can come from and where it's a weakness. For example, all of a sudden it's a two-on-one, but the guy shoots the wrong way, so it's not really a threatening shot. And good penalty-killing can expose that. And I think that's one of the things that Washington has as an advantage is every one of their two-on-ones is a one-timer. They never get stuck in the wrong direction.
Interesting. Adam Oates joins us. Now, you've got Backstrom, who's a lefty, and then you've got Ovechkin, you've got Carlson, you've got Oshie, who are all right-handed shots. Kuznetsov's not even on their first unit power play. That's how deep their power play is. How much do you think, if any, it impacts it now, at least for the time being, Backstrom and Ovechkin are on different lines? Does that carry over at all into any continuity on the power play?
It shouldn't. It shouldn't because Ovi stays for both units on the power play. So when it's the Backstrom or Kuznetsov, they're supposed to run on autopilot, right? So it should be 1A and 1B. But like I said, they have the two-on-ones that are the correct sticks everywhere. And that's why it always goes back to Backstrom or Kuznetsov. They're the quarterback. They started. So no matter what direction they pass first, all the one-timers are available. And that's one of the biggest reasons why they're threatening for 2 minutes.
Adam Oates joins us, Hockey Hall of Famer, skills coach for numerous players. Now you're into 2 weeks of the season, right? It's still very early, but at the same time, you're starting to see a little bit of thing on film. So what can teams pick up, Adam, now that maybe they couldn't pick up last week?
Like you said, trends. You know, you'll see where, for example, I watched Chicago-Calgary last night, and Chicago's been horrendous on the penalty killing so far. Calgary, who's been horrendous on the power play, got two goals last night. So Chicago's penalty killing is worse than Calgary's power play. But you know what? Chicago made mistakes. All the things we talk about on a daily basis, they made mistakes, uncharacteristic from some of their players. So stuff that they got to clean up. And you know what? Teams coming in should try and take advantage of that while you can. And you'll see, like we talked about last week, where at the start of the year, every single team either has a new coach or they got a new system but they all have new personnel. Every single team has new personnel. So sometimes teams are still ironing out the kinks in that personnel.
Now, looking at Chicago, 14 power play goals already given up. And Carolina only allowed 32 all of last season. I don't know if that was the best, but still, it's mind-blowing how bad their penalty kill's been. If you watch, what are they doing? Is it simply goaltending? What's gone wrong on their power play? Because it's not like it's one game. It's pretty much every game.
Well, I can't say I watched every one. Last night, the first goal against, they made mistakes. Calgary took advantage. And the second goal, I thought Calgary executed. They made some really good plays, good reads, good shot, and had the right rebound angles for the rebound. So I thought Calgary earned that one. But you know what? I guarantee it's mistakes, right? From everything from a lost draw, because they, you know, Chicago, for the most part, still has their main guys killing penalties. So I am shocked at those numbers.
And it's something that, and you've been in there as a player and then as a coach, it's not just a quick snap of the finger. Because confidence right now on their penalty kill has to be at an all-time low. Calgary came in with the worst power play in the league yesterday, Adam. They'd only scored on one chance, and they had the most power play time in the NHL and only had one power play goal. Their power play looked like a number one power play yesterday.
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny. You're right. Confidence does creep in. So Chicago, I'm sure, is reeling. But they all, you know, I mean, we're talking about Chicago. I guarantee they're going to fix it. And, you know, 2 years ago, I think they were number one in the league, or 3 years ago.
Yeah, it's interesting. They're bottom six players, though. They have a lot of inexperience. And I wonder how much that is. Because on the penalty kill, it's really about timing and gaps. You talked about if Washington's on, good luck. But the good penalty killers, Adam, they just they allow less time for the power play to set up. And if you give any elite offensive guy in the NHL who runs a power play an extra half second, usually they'll make you look foolish. And I look at Chicago, and while they still use Taze and those guys, their secondary penalty killers have a lot less experience than they've had in previous years, and I wonder how much of a difference that plays.
That makes a huge difference. You know, like I said, every single team in the league right now has a new lineup in some way. And a lot of guys that have played at different levels, whether it was junior, college, or the American League, they need to get up to the NHL speed. So their reaction time, say, for example, going side to side behind the net. Well, in the American League, if you're a defenseman, you have a certain amount of time to switch sides. Well, in the NHL, that amount of time is a split second quicker. And like you said, that split second matters. And maybe guys haven't caught up to that yet. Some guys will never catch up. That's why they're minor league guys, right?
Adam Oates joins us. We got a few text messages coming in at 10:12:60. So let's say next time you come to Edmonton, and some, you know, regular Joe guys were like, hey, I'd like Oates to come down and do a stick fitting. How long would it take for an average guy for you to fit them to a stick?
5 minutes.
And what would be the things you'd look for?
Well, it's the same things, right? Like every skating instructor, every instructor looks for some sort of athletic posture. And I agree with that. So you put the person in the athletic posture, and then you find the right length and curve to allow the guy to stay in that posture.
You'd have
to pretty much the same one.
Would you have to do it with him on the ice then? Ideally?
No.
No?
Well, I mean, ideally it would be better, yeah, for sure. But no, I don't have to. But ideally it would work.
I don't, because I know you deal with a lot of the NHL guys, but I'm sure you know, over time you've dealt with a lot of just average Joes like ourselves. What is the biggest mistake most minor hockey players, weekend warriors have when it comes to their stick? What's the number one thing that's wrongly fitted?
Their lie. Most product that you can buy right now in the store, the lie's too low. So guys are bent over too far. Guys are bent over too much. It's a lot of curve, too much curve, which we all love to shoot the puck and go top shelf, right? Myself included. And the curves allow that for shooting, but that's the biggest misnomer in our game.
Now, so you're saying, but even if players wanted to fix that, they couldn't because a lot of the store-bought stuff doesn't offer it?
Well, you know, they offer you everything, but a lot of people trend to that curve.
Oh, okay.
Like everybody's more concerned about shooting than playing. And that's why I think we have a nice niche about what we do because, yeah, I mean, I know how to shoot a puck, but we teach playing, which shooting's part of it. But if you can shoot a puck and you can't do anything else, you're not playing in this league.
Yeah. Well, and really at any level now. When you look at it, and I do want to get your thoughts. It's very early on in the season, but goal scoring's up incredibly higher than we've seen early on, even in other seasons. And even if it regresses, it's still going to regress to a point if we go on averages of other years that's much higher. Some people are suggesting, you know, there's an influx of youth. Maybe it has to do with the star guys or we're coming off a World Cup and they're in better shape early on. Who knows? But do you see overall that much of a difference, Adam? Because here's my theory. I think there's more skaters who have hired guys like you or other skill coaches around the summer, and they're now, you know, there's not many more shots per game, but there's clearly more goals, and I wonder if it's because we're starting to see, and it's not an equal emphasis yet on skills to goalie coaches, but it's slowly trending in that way. Any chance that that's the reason why, or is it just an anomaly early on?
It could be an anomaly. I would say that I love the idea that the guys that played the Canada Cup or the World Cup, excuse me, are a little bit running on at 100% right now. But I think everybody is. I think guys in general are training longer in the off season, and I think they're starting at a higher clip than they normally do.
Okay, that definitely makes a lot of sense, for sure. And one last question from a texter. How much does weight factor into the flex of a stick, Adam?
Weight?
Yeah, like the weight.
Weight matters a lot. Matters a tremendous amount. It's one of the biggest arguments with players.
Now, should it be weight or strength? Because if you're fat and 220 and don't lift any weights, and then you're ripped in 220, I'm guessing you weigh the same, but your strength is significantly different.
Well, weight really matters. Like, for me, it's a very sensitive subject. You know, once again, you got to realize, when you talk to an NHL guy, these guys are perfectionists, right? Like, the speed that they operate, like, we're talking high athletes. So when you change a product, they can feel it in their hands immediately. It's like a golfer. A golfer puts a piece of lead tape on his club to get that feel, right? Like, we're talking grams. Stick companies are trying to make a dozen sticks within 3-5 grams. That's how much the NHL guys can feel it in their hands. And every color has a weight. So when they change graphics on a year-to-year basis, it affects the weight of the stick. So the stick companies are very sensitive to that stuff because it affects the player's hand.
Interesting. Well, things to, you know, there's so much more science into the hockey stick that I think we've really never dove into as hockey fans.
Oh, yeah, especially, you know, on every level you get to, like, you know, the NHL player, I mean, you know, they're expected to perform every night, right? So I realize we don't play great every night, but we're trying to, and we're dependent upon our tools, right? Our gloves, our skates, our sticks, and they got to be perfect.
Oatsy, always good to catch up with you. What are you watching this week?
I watch so many games, my eyeballs are falling out.
Enjoy the video work, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
You got it, man. Take care.
Adam Oates.